Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
Whoa!
And it really is a house meeting. It truly is. We meet each other, we talk about things that are the burning issues of the day, and we record them for your listening pleasure. So,
and then we end up sounding like really old men.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen out for it, guys. There are definitely moments where you have to kind of catch yourself when you start talking about this modern world. And the thing is, I will say one thing about this modern world. I'm generally very positive about it, but even being positive about it, you sound like you're 1,000 years old. You know, when you talk about the one
like phones.
I think it's wonderful that people are getting their media through TikTok. I don't think it's a problem. It's just a different platform. And they'll be like, okay.
It's a miracle that that conversation is happening on a podcast and not round a table playing dominoes. Whilst people bring us food that they've mushed up for us.
Well, anyway, guys, mush yourself some food and enjoy this wonderful episode. But before you do, there's a few little points of business. Firstly, a Flatshare Slam Down is happening next week now, Monday, March 18th, Tuesday, March 19th. The Monday, March 18th show, the individual tickets just for that show, Joe Lycett, Lulu Popwell, they're all gone. They're all sold out. Watch our Twitter, watch our Instagram for returns. If you want to get a ticket for both shows, you can still get some of those. There's a handful of those available. So you can also go and see Joe Wilkinson and Humphrey Carr the next day. That's the Tuesday, the 19th of March. And there are individual tickets for that show as well, the Tuesday. But if you've never been to a Flatshare Slam Down before, get yourself along. They're always a ton of fun. Go to pappiescomedy.com /live and get your tickets there. Also, this is exciting news from our friend Zoe, who is responsible for the brilliant LMAONA's newsletter, which tells you all about what's going on in the world of comedy, specifically in the UK. Pretty London-centric, but it is an invaluable resource for what's going on in the world of kind of different and new and exciting comedy. And it's a brilliant newsletter. If you're not already a subscriber, you should definitely sign up. But this is thrilling. They're going to be making a brand new print newspaper.
Newspaper.
And again,
you get it through your letterbox.
She's got a couple of old three old codgers to talk about how much print media is dying.
And how she's preaching to the choir.
It needs to come back.
Wasn't it lovely when you hold something in your hand?
Take that out of your hand, please.
It just feels so nice. Listen, they're crowdfunding anyway to cover the cost of printing, and in return, if you pledge to crowdfund for this, you get a paper mailed straight to your door.
Woohoo!
Wow, brave new world.
Where else would you want it mailed to?
I mean, if it's in Tom's case, I tell you what, we'll mail it to our house and we can give it to you, because your house can't be trusted, as people will find out in the body of the episode.
But this newsletter's it's a combination of stories written by comedians, which will be lots of fun to read, interviews, recommendations, all the stuff that makes LMAONA's such a lovely place to visit and champion live comedy.
Now, the crowdfunder closes very, very soon. It closes on Wednesday of this week, March 13th. So get in while you can and order one for just a fiver. So for a fiver, you get. And I think you want to be here. Yeah. You want to be able to say, I got issue one. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be...
I got issues.
I got issues. You want to be saying, I got issues, boy. That's what I want.
I'm holding it in my hand.
I'm going to hold up several issues of the LMNA's newsletter and say, I got issues, baby. So get along to... If you go to Instagram, actually, that's the best way to go. And if you go to LMAONAs, so I'll spell that out for you because it's kind of confusing, but we'll put it in the show notes as well. It's LMAONAISE. So that's, if you go to at LMAONAs comedy on Instagram, then you should be able to work out where to crowdfund. But it's a brilliant newsletter. And even if you can't crowdfund, sign up to the newsletter because it's absolutely brilliant. And Zoe does phenomenal, phenomenal work.
Brilliant. Well,
otherwise, admin done.
Admin's all done. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Knuckle down. Enjoy the house meeting, for God's sake.
We'll see you on the other side.
Was that the intro? All right. I'm into it.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
Can I tell you a quick tale of woe? You know, famously, we're trying to sell the house, of course.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. This rumbles on.
It rumbles on. And we had a viewing this weekend on Saturday, but we were away this weekend, so we had to leave the house on Friday and leave it in a good enough state for a house viewing to come in on the Saturday. We were also going to my parents for Mother's Day, so it was like, right, trying to get all the shit together, trying to get the kids in the car, trying to get the house in some kind of state. Had to be on the road by 11, at 10:45. I'd got the house ready, just about got everything in. We were just about to put the kids in the car. And Jane said, can you smell rotting meat? I was like, oh, actually, now that you mention it, I can smell something bad.
Actually, now you can mention it, I've got a wheelbarrow of rotting meat in the spare room. Is that going to be a problem? Because I...
So, yeah.
I'm working on something.
You've noticed the rotting meat.
It's Mother's Day, after all.
Just around the corner.
Can I shock you? I am that pile of rotting meat.
Reader.
You married me.
You married him.
So I was following my nose around the kitchen.
Oh, I.
And thinking, there's no obvious culprits here. But as with all obvious culprits, it was hiding in plain sight.
Can I ask October. A question? Because, before you get to it, because often, Tom, when you're complaining about a bad smell that you're chasing around the house, the bad smell is coming from within the body.
Now, the call is coming from inside the house.
Tom, we know famously you're on the Atkins diet and you like to keep your pockets full of brisket at all times.
These slippers feel funny. No. Did you start to say it in October, by the way? Because that...
Yeah, listen. The thing is, it becomes very obvious very quickly what's going to happen
March.
Here. Right. In October, Matthew and I attended the same wedding, right? At a farm. And at the wedding, Gloria picked a pumpkin. They were selling pumpkins on the farm. And we took the pumpkin home, and since October we've had a pet pumpkin, and we've kind of, Gloria's adopted this pumpkin. So we've just had this pumpkin. We had it as a centrepiece on the table for a long time. Then we had it kind of moved to the floor and it got decorated. Right. And then it's like, there's pumpkin, there's pet pumpkin. And I kind of naively thought pet pumpkin was going to be with us forever. But that isn't how food works, is it?
No. Can I ask a question about this pumpkin? Was the pumpkin... So we're talking about a pumpkin that is just... It wasn't like you hadn't hollowed it out. It wasn't like a jack-o'-lantern. We're talking about just a pumpkin.
Hadn't hollowed it out, hadn't varnished it.
No.
Had written on it in marker pen.
Sure.
But that doesn't do anything.
No.
It's not Ron Seal, is
that's
it? No.
That's not a preservative.
Followed my nose round the kitchen... Ended up down on the floor, pet pumpkin, and just sagged off to one side, like like, you know, like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. Pumpkin had opened the ark on one side of his body. And I was like, did you lean down to Pet Pumpkin? And Pet Pumpkin just went, please kill me. Please kill me, daddy. Is that what happened? Because that's what I imagine.
That's right.
You had to get a shovel and say, glow, out the house. Get in the car.
I was like,
Jane, start
hang
the
in
engine.
There, Pet Pumpkin. I was like, hang in there, Pet Pumpkin. We've just got to get you out the house to safety. So I got this carrier bag. And then tried to move Pet Pumpkin.
Oh, no,
and
no,
just
no.
Went,
oh,
yeah.
No.
That, boy. No. Carrier bag. You need a shovel or a baking tray or something.
Yeah. The word is putrid. I panicked and tried to move it. I tried to roll it onto this carrier bag and it just gave up the ghost. And the smell that hits your nostril, like we're talking about a 6-7-month-old bit of veg.
Oh, God.
Our house smells so rank. It smells like something's died.
And let's just remind the listener why you're selling the house in the first place, because it stinks of piss. So,
well, the good news is it no longer stinks of piss.
Most people would get a Glade plug-in at this stage. Most people would go for a shake and vac and put the freshness back. But with Tom, no, he thinks what I'll do is I'll get a pumpkin and then, you know, I'd get a pumpkin 5-6 months before the house viewing and I'll just set it in the corner of the room and it'll just slowly permeate through every fibre of every surface of every bit of furniture, wall, fixture fitting. Everything is going to be deep with the stench. What I find so mad is that you only realise as you were leaving the house.
It's been in the middle of your kitchen, on the floor.
You never cook in a meal and you think, why do all our meals taste of rotting pumpkin?
I think it must have taken a turn overnight because it's not something we'd noticed before.
Yeah.
It happened really quickly.
Honestly, if the viewing had been on the Friday, you would have been home free.
So all of this has made me realise something. In October.
Oh, yeah.
Clark has to stop and go and get a pumpkin.
I've got a pumpkin on the balcony.
No! Yeah. No. Pet pumpkin too?
Yeah. So that's something I've got to deal with at some point, isn't it?
Yeah, because I'm guessing because of the weather, you've not really been out on the balcony since the autumn.
No. Completely forgot it was even out there.
Do you want to go and have a quick look and come back and report to us? Do you want to go and have a check and report?
Go on, plunge your fist into the pumpkin and bring back the rest.
Give it a taste.
Give it a prod.
That's bad news. Because, you know, when we were driving home a couple of years ago, but it was, it would have been, I'm going to say early November, maybe mid-November, we were driving home. And someone still had their pumpkins out and Cleo spotted them and said, oh, someone's still got their pumpkins out. Can we go and have a look at the pumpkins? So we was on our road, drove home, walked up the road to the pumpkins. And the second I got like within 4 metres of the pumpkins, I was like, anyway, you can see the pumpkins. I'll turn the buggy around straight down the road because there was maggots coming in there. It was like they looked more Halloween-y. They were incredibly festive for the season. Maggots, flies hatching out of the eyes and stuff. It was really a sight to behold.
Well, we've been having a lot of slugs coming into the house and I wondered why. I think maybe it's because they've been paying the pumpkin a visit.
Oh, it could be house viewings. You never know.
Could you sell the house to slugs?
They'll go, I'll take it.
I'd sell to a slug.
Just got to let the cat out. Give me a sec.
He's got a pumpkin, really. The old let the cat out. he's too proud to admit it.
Charlie,
just out of sight.
Charlie,
just
can
behind
you, can
the
you
camera.
A shovel, please? Just Charlie, grab a shovel, plastic bag. Yeah. Have you still got the bleach and the big bottle? Yeah. Cheers.
Oh no! He's killed the cat.
I've murdered the cat.
I've been told in October.
I would never murder our cat. Do you know what? I'm going to put this on record now. I would never murder any cat.
Yeah, that's fair.
Thanks, man.
What if the cat was on the attack?
I wouldn't murder it.
Like a large. What if it was a large cat? Do you know what I mean? Wait, like the Beast of Bodmin.
Then we switch from wouldn't to couldn't, don't we?
Very good, very good.
What if Garfield was on the rampage? Is that what you're saying? You're saying if there was a massive cat that came at me?
Yeah. But Beast of Bodmin style.
Well, that's a different thing, isn't it? Because that's not a cat.
It is.
When I said I would not murder a cat, I wasn't thinking of big cats. I wasn't thinking of an escaped puma, you know. I was thinking, and also, I wouldn't murder a puma either. Again, it's Clarkie made a very, very good point.
Yeah, you couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. The wouldn't and couldn't are pushed right up against each other. There is absolutely nothing in between. There's not any little middle golden ratio where I'm like, do you know what?
The lynx, I'd kick its
big
face
enough
off.
To be threatening, small enough to kill. That's not, there's no Venn diagram overlap there. They're just two circles bumping up against each other.
I can see the cogs whirring in Tom's head.
I'm trying to think. I found out the other day. I'm coming back to another point.
You found out a lot of things the other day, actually, Tom. Yeah. I found out the other day I can never go back to my house.
It's something like, it's like a jaguar or a cheetah or something. Clark, you'll know. That's what I remember thinking, Clark, you'll know this. But it's like, it's not a large cat. It's like the biggest small cat. So it's like something like either a lynx or one of those isn't a big cat. But it's a fucking big cat. Do you know what I mean? But it's not a big cat.
Yeah, I have heard that there's a distinction.
It's a large cat, not a big cat.
Yeah, but that's mad, isn't it?
If you get me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have to have a cutoff. Like, I recently, I had the checkup you're supposed to have when you should have had it a bit earlier when you turn 40, and the doctor said, medically, you're not a man. You're the biggest small boy.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm afraid there has to be a cutoff point at some point, and you are it.
And so you're in the category of I wouldn't kill.
Exactly.
Whereas Tom is couldn't.
You're last of the big small men, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I'm too adorable and non-threatening, whereas Tom is simply too powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And that goes for our podcasting style as well. I guess what I'm saying is, if when push comes to shove, if everyone was teaming up, you'd fear the cat team, wouldn't you? The cat team goes deep.
Wait, hold on. When you say everyone, do you mean all the species?
Yeah. So everyone goes at it, and it's like you would fear the cat. The cat team is a pretty strong team. It goes deep, man.
More so than human?
I'd fear the cat team. Well, I'm on the human team.
Yeah.
Well.
He hasn't had his checkup yet.
Have I had my checkup? That's what I was just thinking. I hope I have.
Have you let him put a finger in the pumpkin, basically? That's the question.
Have I told you what I've got coming up, by the way? Speaking of appointments.
What have you got coming up, apart from a house being on the market for another 4 or 5 years? A series of open houses, all of which people walk in and go, sorry, what's that smell? And then leave.
You better leave that house open just to air it, mate.
Pop the roof off for a bit. House
meeting. Cold rain or hot snow? What is sleeting? House meeting.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
No, I have had my checkup. I've just remembered.
You have had your checkup. I'm pleased, Tom. Go on. What have you got coming up?
I've booked myself in for the snip.
You're having a snip, are you?
Putting myself out to pasture, boys.
Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. Which bit are you snipping?
I'm going to let the listener decide. You've...
There's so many bits you've always had, you've always been on the fence about.
Listener, of course, is going to go with vocal cords.
It happened powerfully quickly, you know. A bit too quickly for my liking. I kind of put the feelers out, and then the doctor was like, "You're in, end of April." It's like locked and loaded.
What do you mean, you put the
feelers out to the doctor? Do you think I should?
I'll put the feelers out to the doctor.
You know, when you call up for an appointment, that's not putting the feelers out, you know. Like, I know it seems like it. When you call up at 8 in the morning and say, "Listen, I think I'm dying," and they go, "Yes, we can see you in about 4 weeks' time," it does feel like you're putting the feelers out. But that is, you calling up the doctor, is that's not the research stage.
It's like, I'm looking into this. And then before
and he said,
you know
I'm going to be looking into it in a second. You're a nutsack, mate.
I've kind of pictured selling the house before, you know, giving up the ghost.
Can I just say, it's a good thing that you're out for the viewings, because if you're there going around going, "Listen, if you want to make an offer, we're very willing to negotiate because I really want to get the snip." God, Jesus Christ, who is this bloke? Why has he got rotten pumpkin all over his boots?
I'm saving up for the snip.
Is this man seriously going to do it in this house anyway with the stench?
Don't worry, I think living in that house has made you infertile.
I've been absolutely neutered by the stench. It's great, great album title. Yeah. For a death metal band.
Yeah.
Pet Pumpkin, neutered by the stench. I'd buy it. Yeah, I kind of put the feelers out, and round she comes really quickly, end of April. And it's walk in, walk out. No,
walk in, roll out.
Yeah. Reluctantly shuffle in.
Yeah. I'm not getting a vasectomy. They're just gonna hobble me like in Misery. good luck shagging when you're dealing with this.
They're just gonna say, "Listen, if you wouldn't mind asking your testicles to open this Ark of the Covenant," and then they'll melt off down your thighs, and that'll be the end of any little parries running around the place.
Just my little testicles, like two pet pumpkins.
Please, kill me.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Well, congratulations, man.
Yeah, it feels good. It feels like... Well, I feel quite laissez-faire about it.
A second ago, you were saying it's coming around really quick, so it's quite... You're sending quite mixed messages.
It feels like, you know, like a well-earned retirement. Kind of like you've done your time.
Yeah, fair enough. You've had two lovely kids.
At ease.
And you said, this is... I've got my best use out of them.
Two kids.
You've had two kids, certainly. It's not
Why do you think I'm so keen to get a vasectomy? Can't have any more of these, bloody hell. How can I make sure that this doesn't happen again?
I'm sure you don't mean that, just in case they listen in future years. But yeah, anyway, it's literally, I mean, I guess it is that kind of operation, isn't it? It's just, you know, it's... How long does it take?
I don't think it's an operation. You know, they say procedure. Ooh. I don't know what the difference is. Well, I guess the difference is it's a procedure.
They don't put you under.
You walk in. It happens in a GP surgery.
What?
Oh, wow. You don't even have to go into... I don't know if I'll even have to take my trousers all the way off. I think trousers down, but maybe not off. I don't know.
Just unzip.
Just pop one out of. Just pop one out from the fly. Just undo two buttons and pop one.
What do they do then? Are they just like twizzling around till they're done?
They just twist them off. You mean
they just tie a knot in them? Reef knot.
Those little cable tie things.
That's how they need to bulls, isn't it? They just sort of tie them off until they eventually drop off. But Chris, you're not being neutered, Tom, are you? You're not going to be. You're not being castrated.
But Tom comes back and he's a castrato next.
makes me even more difficult to listen to.
Greetings, listener dear.
Tom's first episode back. He sings "Loving You" by Minnie Riperton.
I wouldn't mind that, actually. Ironic, now that I can't love you anymore.
Well, no, that's not what it means either.
Oh no! Oh come on!
Do you think you have to have sex anymore? You can still have sex, Tom.
Okay. Okay.
It's really coming around quick now, isn't it?
What's the point? I was going to have one last hurrah and then head off to the doctor's.
Just take a blowtorch to my genitals, GP, instead. Is there any chance you could do that? They've run
that course. That's what I was thinking. Like, it says, like, you don't feel any... You shouldn't feel any...
shame.
After effects.
Yeah, okay.
But part of me does worry that psychologically... It might do something, because you think we're kind of wired into our DNA, the kind of primitive nature of it. Deep down, do your sacks know that there's no need to do it anymore, and therefore you might lose the urge to do it? I don't know. Like all the research says that isn't the case.
Well, in which case, then I go with that.
But you know what I mean? My instinct says...
Parry trust research, not gone with his adult brain.
You can't trust research. You've got to go for...
Yeah,
you
no,
gotta,
no, exactly.
You've got to... You know, we're animals, last, aren't we?
If the last 4 years have taught us anything, it's that the research around medical science cannot be trusted.
Tom, was your snip you know I mean? A lobotomy?
All the research.
Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, it's primitive, isn't it? It's primitive.
Actually, Tom, I do know what you mean. Yeah, yeah. I wish I didn't.
That urge, you know. If you know, then your body might know, I think. That's my...
Tom, I've got to talk...
I'm trying not to...
Tom, I've got to talk to you about a gentleman's urges, actually. I've just...
Oh, really? Just yeah, okay, head. Go on.
This is bad. This is so bad. It's actually been it's been haunting me since it happened.
The gentleman's urge.
The gentleman's urge, yeah. So I was with
listen
some,
to that band as well.
I was with some other men, other red-blooded males. These red-blooded males are more predisposed to discuss laddie things than I am, right? Okay. So crucially, I'm not a
kind of birthday party, just a gathering of a pint. What's the campfire?
Well, yeah,
a barbecue.
Unbelievably, it was
a rally.
We're at work, which made it all the more unsettling. You know, I really was flustered by this conversation. Basically, it was, and this is so, it's going to sound so chaste. We were looking at a picture of Taylor Swift, right, for work related. And people started discussing how attractive she was, right? Whoa, and it was the Time front cover. Yeah, okay. I think she was on the front cover of Time magazine, posing with her pet cat over her shoulders, right? And
we know how much she liked cats.
Yeah, exactly. And crucially, I said, I would never murder.
You'd never murder.
I wouldn't.
We all know what you meant by that.
Yeah, exactly. I'd never murder that cat.
Okay, okay. You'll never murder that cat.
So they're all sort of going, oh my God, isn't she gorgeous? Isn't she attractive? And I said, and I don't know, I think I was trying to sort of like, be like, yeah, she's so attractive. You know, I was like, and I said, she's so attractive. I'd like to have sex with the cat.
Right. Okay.
I don't know what I was saying, but I was like, you know, just because the cat's in the proximity of the attractive person, I'm so out of breath. Yeah, I got carried away. This wasn't the like I'd said, you know, oh, she's so fit, I'd like to do this. This was the first thing I brought to the conversation. Right. Everybody else is talking, and I go, she's so attractive, I'd like to have sex with the cat. There's a beat and the conversation moves on. I just know.
Oh, no, that's even worse. Oh, that's
nobody acknowledges the fact that I just know. And then later on, I was like, I really want to go to the loo, but I literally don't want to go to the loo because the second I leave the room, people are going to go.
Everyone's going
to
go.
Did everybody else hear Crosby say he wanted to have sex with a cat?
Your contract's been terminated.
I can't get it out of my head.
And have you been invited back to write on Top Gear again, or is that? I mean, I'm getting the snip, but you need to be chemically castrated, my friend.
I do. For the sake of cats everywhere. First, he's saying he wouldn't murder a cat. Next thing, he's taking it like, hey, this is literally grooming, isn't it? They start off with stuff like, hey, baby, I'd never murder you. And then it gets to, hop out the litter tray and hop onto this. It's really, I just feel awful about it.
When he said you needed to take the cat out, was it like for a nice dinner?
You got to wine and dine. Oh, dear.
Thanks, guys. That's what I was hoping for. Oh, dear.
Mid-podcast, Crosby, he coughs up a hairball.
Can I, was it a nice cat?
Well, it's Taylor Swift's cat, so, you know, it's well looked after, certainly. You know,
he's Googling it.
He's Googling it.
Crosby, get off the internet.
I'm trying to find out which one it was. Hang on a sec. Taylor Swift's cat time
because magazine. I can see it in the trial now. He made those comments.
Well looked after.
2 weeks later, he was Googling cat. Taylor Swift's cat. You've got to delete your search history after this, man.
Oh my God, Taylor Swift's cat is called Benjamin Button. So I've got no idea how old this cat is that I've been lusting after.
Problematic.
A problematic situation. I thought the cat was 87. Your Honour.
House meeting.
Can I have a lift? I live in London.
House meeting.
Oh no. I feel so bad about it. But anyway, I feel better now having shared it. But every now and then, it's just like, and also, anytime, like, Taylor Swift is an unavoidable public figure, you know? Like, kind of, it's just, she's out there, right? Yeah. It's not like you'd said it about somebody that you very rarely see, you know?
It's like every time one of those guys sees Taylor Swift, they're going to be saying to the people they're with, By the way, do you know Matthew Crosby?
Yeah, he's cat sitting for me at the moment. Get home immediately.
Go. do you have any strong feelings towards Taylor Swift's
Where's this?
I've moved away from her animal.
Sure. The oeuvre. Well, the situation I've got at the moment is I am trying my best. Like, I like her stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not deep into it, you know. I listened to the Folklore album the other day. I really, really thought that was very good. I'm trying to find out what the best sort of Taylor Swift songs for Cleo to get into, because here's the thing. She loves the movie Sing. Right, which is about a bunch of animals.
She's only bloody human
in a singing competition. It's a great movie.
It's a great film.
So
we're watching that. Might ask yourself, why have you seen it, Clark? You don't have kids, but
oh no! I absolutely.
Old petting zoo, Clarky, at it again.
Hey, I never said I was going to fuck an animal.
You take an interest in animals that is purely academic.
It is unfair. It's unfair that you've ended up with the nickname Petting Zoo Clarkie when we all know Crosby's the one with the problem.
Heavy Petting Zoo Crosby.
So her favourite song from the whole film is Reese Witherspoon and Nick Kroll's version of Shake It Off, right? Which is, it's a banging version, but we're trying to convince her to listen. I'm like, hey, do you know this is actually a cover version?
She liked that.
Originally by Taylor Swift. We put it on after about a minute and a half. She's like, take it off. Not shake it off, take it off.
Wow,
she was like,
really?
She was like, yeah, I don't like this version. I don't like it. And I was like, they sound really similar. Except crucially, Taylor Swift's version is about 3.5-4 minutes long, which means if we have to play it in the car, do you know what I mean? Over and over again, we're not listening to a song.
Taylor Swift is going to be too old for your kids. They're going to be like, ugh, yeah. No, not that old bird.
Absolutely.
Here's my thing
about
Sing.
By the way, there's a brilliant song in Sing. One of my favourite characters.
Here's the thing about Sing. It is obviously flawlessly executed. But when you have access to the music that film has access to,
yeah,
it feels like you've got like a cheat mode to be amazing, right? Like mainline into people's emotions.
You say that, but Sing 2
is Sing 2 not, do you not like Sing 2 as much?
No.
Ooh, I mean, to be honest,
I think it pales in comparison.
That's interesting because
they
like them both. Sing is the favourite in the house, but that's interesting. But yeah, I know what you mean because the scene where he falls in love with the theatre, he's listening to Golden Slumbers by the Beatles, and you're like, you might be falling in love with the Beatles actually. Again, you know, Cleo's already quite into the Beatles because you know, so many of their songs do sound like kind of, you know, kid songs. But yeah, I know what you mean. But at the same time, they do have access to it, and that's, you know, it's all the better for us. Are you saying like if it was like okay, they've got the entire back catalogue of the Pigeon Detectives, go and make the same movie?
Yeah. If Sing becomes a Pigeon Detective musical,
no shade on the Pigeon Detectives.
No,
but they're not the Beatles, are they? I think even the Pigeon Detectives themselves would admit that.
No, but I'd even go so far as to say, if Sing had to write its own songs, like every Disney film has to do, like that's thing is, you go for if you're doing Frozen, you gotta come up with all those. You can't just piggyback the most emotional, you know, songs, the greatest songs of all time. Like it's kind of, it has access to all of that, and then I think you can hang any story on those songs, I would argue. That's all on this. That's my question. And don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of that film.
This is
me liking it.
This is what it sounds like when I like something.
But like, it gets me right where it's pure every time. Like, I always get very emotional watching it. I always have tears in my eyes. But it's because it's got access to some of the greatest songs ever written that are happening just at the right time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like fair play. Fair play to it, I say. But also, you know, come on.
But also,
I don't know.
But also, you're cheating.
Are there any sexy cat characters in it for you, Crosby?
I mean, I don't think so, no.
You're very much... You really remind me of the koala, though, actually.
Really? Mr. Moon?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
That's very good, actually.
In that I'm short... I love the theatre, and I'm incredibly deceitful.
Yeah, and very adorable.
Oh, thanks, man.
But also controlling.
Incredibly controlling, yeah. Absolutely. Controlling, manipulative, everything has to be on his terms. But loves the theatre.
And also, does that koala fuck cats as well? I can't remember.
Yeah. Absolutely, that's a big subplot of the movie, is him having an affair with a cat. And there's a real abuse of power going on because the cat wants to be in the show, and he's like, there's a casting couch. And I know you're not normally allowed on a couch. So, pretty exciting.
Clarky, how do you feel towards Taylor Swift's oeuvre? Have you dipped your toe? Are you submerged?
I'm fairly passive, really. I think you know, I hear someone, I'm like, that's good. I see why you like that.
Okay.
But not massively taken.
Parry, same question for number three. How do you feel about Taylor Swift's oeuvre?
I was asking myself this the other day because I only know Shake It Off because we once sang it.
Yeah.
So, like, because she's now one of the most famous musical artists in the world, I was just being like, if you asked me to sing another Taylor Swift song, I would genuinely struggle past Shake It Off.
You can't do Antihero. Really, Antihero is quite a big hit recently, a couple of years ago.
But I'd probably struggle to sing it. I mean, the only reason I know that is because we nearly did it as a jingle about 4 months ago. And so I listened to it then, and
your
I was like, "Oh, this is
music. Is music this you is that song recorded?"
Yeah. I just feel like I'm so far off the cultural phenomenon. You know, like, it's the equivalent of being around when Michael Jackson was in his pomp and being like, well, I do know Thriller, and that being the only song you know, because it's like her fame is so, so big, and yet that's all I could contribute. It makes me feel
I think you're doing yourself down there. I think it's a different thing there, because like back in the day when Michael Jackson was topping the charts, culture was consumed in a completely different way. It was a lot more, you know, it was all coming through the radio. You might have been just buying records and listening to it yourself, but you're getting it probably through the radio or through television, and there weren't tons and tons of specialist channels. You know, MTV was starting, okay. So there was that. So I think that's a different thing. If you were somebody who's like, no, I just don't know any Michael Jackson songs, you're like, how have you not heard Bad, or how have you not heard Beat It, or how have you not heard, you know, Man in the Mirror or Smooth Criminal? Because these things were just like, and I know we were obviously kids at the time, so consuming that kind of stuff, but it was on every radio station, it was getting played all the time, you know, it was on TV shows were parodying him in a way, like, you know, sketch comedy shows were parodying Michael Jackson in a way that I don't think comedy shows do today about Taylor Swift, even though she's massive. It's that the crossover of people who watch telly and the people who listen to Taylor Swift isn't quite as big enough to make it sort of land. I tell you what, you know, you, I tell you where you might get it from if you're a bit older is you might know it from Strictly. That's the other place you might have heard.
Yeah, okay.
You know, okay. Pop songs.
Yeah.
If you're not listening to chart radio, then you might be watching Strictly and you might get it from there. But I think crucially now, it's like, you know, you don't know, you see, I mean, again, you try not to sound like the oldest person in the world, but it's quite exciting that everyone can kind of find their own thing and live this way. But occasionally you'll chance upon someone and be like, oh, is this a famous person? And you'll look at their Instagram and they've got 57 million followers and you're like, well, I guess they are.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a household name.
Do you think things would have been different for us if we'd have landed the job of being the house band on Strictly?
Can you...
Do you think it would have been a distraction?
We were down to the last two, weren't we?
They went in a different way. Right at the end, they went in a different direction.
Yeah, they were like, oh, we want people who can, like, play and sing, actually, rather than these three guys.
You don't want these guys doing their own thing and just kind of, you know, having fun with it. The loosey-goosey, they were close to it. They were, you know, they'd right down to the... And then they just decided... They didn't want that loosey-goosey kind of...
An odd choice, I thought. An odd choice. But you know what? They've been pretty successful without us. But I think there's, even in their minds, there's a sort of a what-if.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally,
there's a kind of like,
it'd
be doing
less
well.
Strictly, do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
Strictly come dancing.
Exactly, the loosely come jigging, yeah.
I'd watch Loosely Come Jigging.
Loosely come jigging, yes, please.
But I feel like there's I feel like, you know, they're getting, they're probably getting 10 million, you know, 11 million viewers, you know. So they must sometimes be going, could we be getting 15?
Yeah.
People.
You know.
People.
15, 20 minutes before the show's pulled off the air.
I am an anti-hero. Yes! Hey, I'm going to do it. Hey, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Pass a dope later again, that, motherfuckers.
Again, quite a sort of odd approach to songs in that, like, what we do is we sit down and we talk about songs that we haven't heard, and then we sort of, one of us describes them to the other one, and then the person who's had it described them then sings the song.
Yeah.
I do like it.
That does sound like the kind of thing we'd have pitched to ITV2. Yeah,
actually, as I was saying that out loud, I was like, fuck me, that's a good flat slam game. I'll describe a song to you. You sing it, the other person, yeah. Actually, that's not bad. There's something in that.
That's not bad. Okay, Put it on the list.
I know we're not currently workshopping flat slam games. That's for the meeting immediately after this recording. But you know loosely what? Sometimes there's a little bleed. It's loosely come jigging, guys. It's kind our version.
It writes itself.
Today we're playing our version of Strictly Come Dancing, which we're calling Loosely Come Jigging. Where's everyone gone?
House meeting.
What's the worst thing you've considered eating?
House meeting.
Well, there it was, a house meeting.
For God's sake.
Yeah. Hope you enjoy it. For God's sake.
For God's sake, enjoy it. Well, that flew by. Yeah. That flew by for me.
It really did. It really did. And we'd love for you to get in touch and tell us, aren't you also an old man who'd like to talk about Taylor Swift? Because we're starting up a Discord channel for us all to have a little chat. Crucially, you can't have heard too many of her records. You can't have heard. It's a Discord channel where the three of us describe Taylor Swift songs from bits we've half imagined. There's a separate Discord for cat chat. Don't worry about that, boys.
Don't go near that.
Don't Not worry about that.
Cat chat.
Anyway, don't forget as well, the Patreon as well gets you tickets to discounted tickets to the shows if you wanted to come to those flat shows, stand down. It also gets you a bonus episode every. Oh, yeah, not Taylor Swift shows. Fucking hell.
It will not get you into the Eras tour, I'm afraid.
But we will be approximating some songs as her warm up band on those.
Imagine if we said, sign up to our Patreon where you can get Taylor Swift tickets. Fucking hell.
I would listen to a live podcast of us going to the Eras tour and we just record our reaction to it all the way through. I'm into that.
I can't afford it.
Yeah, do you know how much that podcast would cost to record? $10,000.
Well,
Anyway, might
get the Chortle Awards interested.
Jesus Christ. He's lost his mind. I think he's high on pumpkin fumes. Could somebody, Tom, crack a window for God's sake? His skin's gone orange.
This radiator's on full. It's so hot.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Tom, it's a pretty clement day. Turn the radiator down, all right? Okay, yeah, we believe you. You're pointing at the radiator like we can see the heat. It's a radiator, Tom, yeah. I tell you what, look, there's one in my house as well. Just there.
That radiator's on. It's on.
Turn it off, mate.
What is this?
Anyway, patreon.com/Pappy's Flat Share. You get discounted tickets and you also get a bonus episode every week of a completely different show, Flat Share Pop Round. We have a great time. We read out your emails. We chat to each other. We get personal. You know, it's good fun. It's really good fun. And it's well worth your subscription for just £4 a month.
We do get personal.
We get personal.
We definitely get personal.
We get up close and personal.
And you thought we were personal on this episode. We get personal.
We get personal, baby.
Don't forget to crowdfund LMAOs.
Today's episode was produced by Emma Caution.
Caution team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.